Can you share some of the success stories and feedback that you guys have received from the initial releases of iBible episodes?
Right now, the primary way to distribute God's word is through a printing press. We print the Bible, which is great. But there are countries where there are more Bibles than Christians who want them.
Our theology says that we serve the only God in human history that came down off the mountain, met us in our brokenness and depravity, and made a way out.
And in motion. I mean, obviously, I'm not going to be around in decades when all of this is continuing to change. I just want to be a catalyst to help the movement.
Welcome back to the Ministry Growth Show. Today on the show, I'm going to be talking with Steve Cleary. He's the founder and director of Revelation Media and the executive producer of the iBible Project. Steve, thanks for being on the show.
It's my pleasure, Zach. Thank you for having me.
Yeah. Can you tell us a little bit about Revelation Media, a little about the iBible Project, kind of what's the origin story? Why do you guys exist?
Well, it's a big question, you know, because so much has happened. We started it, and I'll try to give you the short version. I never wanted to start a ministry, and I certainly never wanted to lead a ministry. I have worked in ministry most of my adult life as part of my career path, and I've spent a lot of time with Voice of the Martyrs. I've spent a lot of time in the mission field and working on various media projects. And so when the concept of Revelation Media came up, it was really tied to the film we were working on called The Pilgrim's Progress. And so we were doing this animation of The Pilgrim's Progress. This was, you know, backing up 7-8 years ago. And my thought was to make a film, you know, put it in TV, put it on the theaters, maybe turn a profit, pay the investors. And it was just a project we wanted to do. I loved media. I loved film. I just was putting my toe into animation. And so as I started, as the film progressed, and I started saying, what am I going to do with this film? You know, how am I going to distribute it? What am I going to do? Mm-hmm. I found this huge void in Christian media when it comes to the mission field. And so I started thinking, like, this is crazy. You know, we're making 30, 40, 50 films a year in America. Everyone's doing the same game, you know, the same distribution plan, the same investment strategies and theatrical release, streaming release. And it's like, what about the mission field? Because we refer to ourselves as kind of media missionaries, right? And I'm like, I was really grieved to think of how little the mission field received for Christian content compared mm-hmm. to how much we received. And it's like Christians going to a buffet, you know, it's endless. And you get all this Christian content. And then in the mission field, we were hearing, we have almost nothing. We have the Jesus film, we may have something else, but we're not getting all this Christian content. I was really convicted. And I thought, how are we going to get Pilgrim's Progress into the mission field? Is it the right film? What's the right language? What's the right distribution platform? And I wasn't looking to start a ministry. I kind of put out a fleece. You know, I said, God, if you do this, then I will take a step forward and do this. And that happened miraculously. Okay. So we ended up putting the Pilgrim's Progress into a ministry. And we called it Revelation Media. Called it Revelation for a couple reasons. One is that I wanted always to tell the whole story from Genesis to Revelation. We're all long for the second coming of Christ, which is revealed in Revelation. So I called it Revelation Media. A lot of people call us Revolution Media, which I have to correct them. And so we started this nonprofit, and we said we want to make films for the mission field. And the next thing we realized is that if we make films for the next generation, so let's say we make something that is suitable for a 12-year-old, mm-hmm. there's actually a good chance it's suitable for the mission field as well. I mean, if we make a movie about a football, or, you know, our version of football, or we make a movie about takes place in an American mall, chances are it's not going to translate well into Bangladesh or the Middle East or these other places where it's very, very much an American message. Not to say anything wrong with that. So we started saying, how do we make content that's culturally relevant for the mission field and for the next generation in the U.S. And that's where animation came in, very popular among youth here, very popular among adults around the world. And, you know, that's where we got the big scary project to say, what if we animated the entire Bible? You know, we had completed Pilgrim's Progress. I can tell you it nearly killed me. And I say that literally, I nearly died. And it was so stressful, and the money aspect, the resources, and trying to distribute it. But it went great on the mission field. So we struggled in the U.S., not because people didn't like the film, but because of the industry. You know, theater said, we'll give you another showing, and then they'd cancel it. And so we made all these promises. We spent all this money, and it just was a racket. It's a very difficult. It's better today. It's definitely gotten better. But Christian films were a tough sell 7 years ago into the theaters, 5 years ago into the theaters. But we went great on the mission field. We started seeing literally we've had tens of millions of people watch the film. I mean, I couldn't sell tens of millions of tickets in the U.S. If somebody right. could, they could make a lot of money. But all these people were watching, and we started translating it. We translated it into 33 languages, and it was being the content was being consumed, and people loved it. We were getting great comments, and so we realized this is really what God was calling me to do. And then the big scary project was to do the entire Bible animated that could be freely distributed and put into the languages of the world. So it's a mission focused, but it doesn't leave the next generation of America behind. We reach youth here, and we reach the mission field, and it's a great combination. I mean, I wasn't smart enough to think that way. We just discovered it. We discovered that you can make films that translate to both, which is the two most important things: our kids, our grandkids, and the mission field.
So, iBible, to be clear, is like a is not similar to the Action Bible or the Keystone Bible in that it's a comic book Bible. This is an animated series. Like, this is video content, correct?
Yes. Yeah. So when you think of the Action Bible, which we love, by the way, and the Kingstone, I've worked with the pastor who founded Kingstone Bible, Art Aris, a great guy. We're different in two ways. We're different in presentation. And so we're video first. And so I think the Action Bible is doing some videos now, or we'll be doing some videos of the Action Bible. But we start with video. Everything has to be video. We believe, and we can talk about it if you want, Zach, but we believe visual is actually a heart language that reaches the vast majority of the world. And the other difference is that we don't use a Bible story script. Our script are scripted from scripture and go through multiple levels of theological review. We're not trying to do a Bible story. We're trying to maintain a biblical script. So people will say, like, well, I'm using like a Bible, you know, using the ESV Bible and using scripture. The answer is yes and no. We use the ESV Bible. We use the King James Bible. We use the ASV Bible. We use it as the guide for our scripts. But our scripts are still storytelling scripts, but we're locked to the actual scripture. So we can't create a person. We can't create dialogue. We can't create adjectives. We can't create any of that if it's not revealed in scripture. And so we take our scripts and we have internal reviews. Then we have a Bible translation consultant on staff. And then it goes to SIL, which is a sister ministry of Wycliffe Bible Translators, which we all love.
Right.
And know about their great work. So we're dealing with the top Bible consultants, translation consultants in the world that actually authenticate our scripts. They edit them, they challenge us, they give suggestions. And at the end of the day, we come to an agreement on every single word, every single sentence, and they give us an authentication. So we're actually a Bible translation. We're not a Bible story, we're a Bible translation. And we're a translation of the biblical narrative. And so we're a translation of the story of the Bible.
So talk to me a little bit about the big vision for iBible. How does it stand out as like a visual presentation of the biblical narrative, and maybe why that approach?
I think that the challenge is that we can focus on the Gospels and disregard the Old Testament. We can disregard, sometimes I say it's funny, I don't know who called it the Old Testament. I don't think God called it the Old Testament. You know, Jewish people refer to it as a Tanakh, and we got different names for it. I wish it was kind of called the first part or something, because when we say old, we kind of think we can disregard it, like an old sock, an old pair of shoes. But the gospel begins in Genesis, and the gospel fulfills in Revelation. And when we put aside the Old Testament, it makes it that much easier to put aside Revelation. And I'm not talking about apocalypse. I'm not talking about, you know, let's talk about rapture. Let's talk about the right. Antichrist. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about the second coming of Christ. I'm talking about what we are called to do on earth until Christ returns. That's what I'm talking about. That's the completion of the gospel. That's the fulfillment of the gospel. The last recorded prayer in scripture is, "Come, Lord Jesus." But I don't hear that prayer prayed a lot. I don't hear that in church, that we long for Christ's second coming. When we long for Christ's second coming, it says, well, what are we doing in the meantime? Then we're acknowledging we live for Christ. We live for the kingdom. We live for the second coming. And I think it changes our perspective. And so when we start disregarding sections of the Holy Scripture of the Bible, and the gospel becomes, you know, from Christmas to Easter, then we start making it about us. And I'd read this article from this amazing theologian who talked about the danger of not teaching the entire Bible as one story. And he said, when we do that, instead of finding our place in God's kingdom, we let God find a place in our kingdom. And I don't want to beat up any, you know, I mean, I can say I was as guilty as anybody as making Christianity fit my life. Or how do we involve Christianity? So all of a sudden that, you know, I'm being blessed by this, and this is, it's like, no, what is God calling me to do for him? How do I fit in his kingdom? Not he, how does he fit in my little kingdom on earth? And so when I realized the importance, number one was iBible wants to reveal the entire Bible from Genesis to Revelation told as a single story, told as a single event. It's told episodically, and we're estimating will be about 300 episodes. Right now we're working on our 43rd episode. And so we estimated it'll be about 300, and it'll go all the way, cover every single event. It'll be the narrative, but it ties them all together as one story. So when Jesus says, you know, I'll give you the sign of Noah, I'll give you the sign of Jonah, we're flashing back to Jonah. When it says that, when the angels announce the birth of Christ to the shepherds, the angels quote Isaiah, we flash back to Isaiah. We connect it all. And so it's one story that's authenticated translation, narrative translation. And then that script, that video becomes free to translate into any other language. And we have 5 languages published for our first 42 episodes. We have 6 languages in production. We have 100 languages completed of a special iBible episode. And it becomes free to the world. So it's the first actual product, missional product that we can bring to the mission field, and the mission field can translate for free. They don't have to sign a contract. They just have to agree to hold true and have the scripts reviewed. And then the video automatically follows. The sound effects, the music automatically follows. And so we're doing a visual presentation, and then we go to the distribution. Right now, the primary way to distribute God's word is through a printing press. We print the Bible, which is great. But there are countries where there are more Bibles than Christians who want them. There are places where somebody could not read a Bible. They might cherish it, but they're not going to read a printed Bible. So we move to, you know, Zach, I'm holding up my phone. You can't see. It's got a beautiful picture of my granddaughter on there. And those who are listening can't see, but you have your own phone. Please don't hold it up if you're driving. But you have a phone and you use it all day long. And I know that. I don't even have to make that assumption. And so there are 7 billion phones in the world. So it becomes the biggest pipeline in the history of the world for delivering God's word. It is the miracle, the second biggest miracle since the Gutenberg press, the invention of movable type printing press. And now we can distribute the gospel. We can even put the whole word for word Bible on there in audio. So we have video audio, and we literally can reach nearly the entire world right now with God's word. So this big vision, as I've unpacked it, a visual presentation of God's one story to redeem, to restore creation, to redeem mankind as revealed in the entire Bible.
Yeah, I love that. We talk about it in terms of, you have this grand meta narrative, that this redemptive narrative that God is telling, who he's invited us to participate in partnership with him in that redemptive story. And so often in the church, I think we take the Bible and we want to tear it apart and break it down into little individual pieces and tidbits that we can apply to our life, just like you said. But there's one story that's being told. The new does not replace the old. And that's kind of what our tendency is. But man, we miss out on so much when we don't view the scriptures as this one meta narrative. And then so that we can understand how our stories fit into that story. Just like you said, we flip-flopped it. How does God's story fit into my life is upside down and backwards. I love that. And the fact that there's so little content and teaching within the church that addresses scripture as one single story is, it's cool that you guys have stepped into that need and that, I think, a missed opportunity. So that's cool.
I do. I actually agree. It's a missed opportunity. I feel that, I don't desire to take credit for anything. You back up 5 or 7 years ago, I would have called myself a New Testament Christian. I would have focused on the New Testament. I would have focused on the Gospels. This isn't something that I came up with. I really believe God brought it to me. It actually started with a literal dream that I had about doing this. And it wasn't my choice. Even when I started Revelation Media, we were talking earlier, Zach, I, like you, have an agency, a marketing agency, and I do work for some Christian orgs and some non-Christian orgs. And I can make a living doing that. You know, you can make a half-decent living doing marketing. I was happy doing that. And so when I had this vision to start the ministry, my wife and I spent over a year flying around the country interviewing people, trying to hire them to run Revelation Media. It was not my intent. It was not my desire. And I also had a speech impediment. So I couldn't do what we're doing right now. That never would have been possible for me. And even as I talk, people may pick up I still have remnants of a speech impediment. But I had a severe speech impediment. I mean, somebody being bullied at school, there's no way I wanted to lead a mission. There's no way I wanted to be a public face. There's no way I wanted to do interviews or have my own podcast or be on TV. I just didn't want it. And so I don't take credit for anything that's happened with Revelation Media and with iBible. God has really brought it about. And I could question why he chose me. I think there are probably 50 people ahead of me that he asked, and they were, I don't know, maybe smart enough to say no.
Unavailable.
To try this crazy project of animating the entire Bible. I think I just was, you know, I could say I was naive enough, or I like to believe I was obedient enough to say, okay, what's the worst that can happen? The worst that can happen is I go broke and die. And that almost happened a couple years ago. So, you know, been there, done that. And that's the worst that can happen. The best that can happen is God can do something through this organization. God can do something through a visual presentation of his word. And really, that's what I get excited
about. That's cool. Why do you think, what's the significance of the need to create this piece of content in a digital animated form, specifically for digital media? Like, why is there such an emphasis on that digital media piece?
Let's look at a American Bible Society study. Every year, American Bible Society, great organization, big organization, pays to have a survey of the Bible done. Mm-hmm. It's kind of the state of the union for the Bible, and they do it every year. The 2024 statement, a survey of the Bible, shows a decline of Bible engagement by 36% over the last 5 years, mainly among youth.
Is that a Western church engagement, or is that globally?
That is Western.
Okay.
So we know that, but some countries say, I've been in some countries where they say, as the U.S. goes, so show, you know, we will go with them, especially in Africa.
Kind of export. We export our church.
And so we're exporting, you know, I sometimes have to apologize when I speak overseas for what U.S. is exporting. But actually, when it comes to digital social media, there's countries that are ahead of us because of TikTok. So we kind of don't allow free reign for TikTok in our country, but African countries do. And they're actually people absorbing content through social media. So we see this decline. And Bible engagement, but does it mean that the next generation is less interested in Scripture? Which I personally don't believe. I believe we see a decline in Bible engagement is because we're trying to get the next generation to speak our language. We grew up reading books, and we want our youth to read books. They're growing up watching their phones. They're growing up watching videos. They're growing up discussing things on social media. We have now, I don't want to advocate for people to spend more time on social media and more times on their phones, but I'm saying that's where they're at. Mm-hmm. And I relate it to if you had a child that was deaf, the best way you could relate to that child is to learn sign language, because that becomes their heart language. They learn to communicate, especially if they were born deaf, they learn to communicate in sign. You could, as a parent, you could selfishly say, you need to learn to read my lips or we're not going to communicate. But that person is never going to really, I mean, unless they become an expert at that, that's not the norm. That's not what happens. The sad fact is less than half of parents with deaf children actually learn sign language. This is really sad statistic. Wow. But what we're seeing is that, especially in other countries, deaf people are seen as inferior. They're pushed aside. They're cast out. This is an amazing mission opportunity for sign language and preaching the gospel. And we're very committed to it. So think for a minute that sign language is a visual language. It's a heart language. It's a language they communicate in. And until they hear the gospel in sign language, it's not their God. It's somebody else's God. And so the same thing happens when we keep delivering things in our way. Instead of saying, how are the youth consuming content around the world? How are they learning? You never realize in the U.S., a child will spend more time on their phone than they'll spend in school. So who is the teacher? And so we're not going to, the fix to this problem, we can say, well, take away their phones. Well, that's not the fix. They're going to go to school. They're going to have other people's phones. They're going to get their own phone when they're 18. Right. I mean, it's going to happen. So why don't we bombard? Why don't we say strategic plan to show them where to find godly content, to point them to, you know, Superbook, VeggieTales, iBible, Bible Project. And I think we don't do nearly enough content for social media, for phone. Why don't we take over this? You know, the printing press was, the movable type printing press was invented. First thing printed on it was a Bible. And so I kind of say we owned it. We were smart. We said, let's do a Bible. And Johannes Gutenberg had a desire to do the Bible. Social media comes up and we go, what do we do with that? And it's, what's all this garbage on there? And so the only way we're going to combat the garbage is to bombard it with the truth and give the real message and then guide the next generation and let them interact with biblical-based content on their phones, because that's their language. That's their heart language. That's how they learn. And it is growing exponentially. It's not, you know, from 3 hours a day on their phones, 5 hours a day on their phones. In Africa, 7 hours a day on their phones. I mean, we're going to run out of hours in a day.
Right.
And I want to point them to content. What if every church in America at the end of the church service says, we're going to put out a follow-up to our sermon on social media, go grab it, and let's discuss it this week. Send me, the pastor says, type me your thoughts on this. Share this video clip. Put it on your own social media. Let's get people talking about this scripture. Let's get people talking about this event in the Bible. What really happened to Jonah? What really happened to, you know, Dinah and from Genesis and Judah and Tamar, these hard stories that we avoid that youth are willing to talk about? And I really think we're missing it. I mean, again, I don't want to be overcritical. And I know a lot of churches and a lot of ministries are trying to tackle this. 90% of all funds that go to distributing the Word of God are still going to printed Bibles, and the next youth are not reading them. Those who can't read are not reading them. Those who choose not to read are not reading them. Do we want them to read the Bible? Of course. But we have to reach them where they're at to move them in that direction.
Yeah. Well, it's going where attention is. Man, like you said, more and more and more people's attention is going to our phones and social and the digital space. I think you're seeing, I was reading on your Divine Narrative landing page on your site, that you talk about orality. And especially in the West, we're coming out of post-enlightenment where everything's literacy-based, logic, reason in our communication culture. And what you're seeing, I believe, And it sounds like you would make the same argument in the West, but on a global scale as well. You're seeing a move back towards orality because we're spending so much time in the social and digital spaces, which are heavy, heavy, and primarily video-based, imagery-based, and iconography. Facebook by next year says that they will be completely video, photo, and icon. No words will be on that platform.
Really?
They've made that statement themselves. And so we're growing up, my generation and younger are growing up with text-based platforms being essentially non-existent. And what that means is, I believe we're moving into a pseudo-orality communication culture where story and narrative win the day. And our, like you said, our heart language is orality again. I think historically it always has been. Most of the world, 70% of the world, still functions in orality communication culture. And so you have this massive shift in how globally people are communicating, and yet the church continues to show up communicating logic, reason, literacy-based communication, creating content that is logic, reason, literacy-based. And we're not speaking the language of my generation, especially in younger, right? We're not speaking this orality communication culture. And if the church does not make adjustments, if we don't make adjustments to this massive shift that's taking place, it's going to be, there's going to be significant implications for this and ramifications, because we're no longer speaking the heart language. And I love that you guys are recognizing this problem and then creating solutions for it, coming up with solutions to say, how do we speak to a communication culture that is more and more and more orality, story-centric in its communication, right? Mm-hmm. So, yeah, you can't look at the digital space, which is so heavily video, photo, and iconography based, and not see that story and narrative wins. And so if we don't start showing up contextually relevant in those places for how people are behaving, how they're engaging, how they're communicating, we're going to continue to be lost. We've just continued to lean into there's a book by Jonah Sacks called Story Wars. I don't know if you've read it, but he talks about the broadcast era and now this pseudo orality communication culture that we're mm-hmm. moving into. And the church is still showing up in digital as if we're in a broadcast era, and it's not. We're not in that era anymore. And we just want everybody to come consume our content, usually literacy-based stuff, and we're missing out. And so love what you guys are doing.
Well, I love that you pointed out, people often say that the next generation is a sight and sound generation. And I've said, no, I said, we've always been sight and sound. Mm-hmm. And so I like the way you phrased it, is we're going back to orality. You know, I say Jesus didn't invent the printing press. He didn't invent the phone. He did speak in parables. So the story based, and look at all the Jewish festivals, look at all the, how we remember this, look at all the, you know, the signs, the things that they're visually presented. You look at old churches, they have stained glass. You know, the stained glass tells a story. And so the story based, the orality based, visual based has always been there. And through academia, which was a great thing, and education rose, yeah, we said, okay, this is how we learned. And now we say, if the church doesn't shift and or add this, you know, what we're going to face. I'm going to add to that the church hasn't, and we're paying the price. The 35% mm-hmm. decline in Bible engagement in the U.S., this is the first time in history. In the last 5 years, the first time in history Bible engagement has gone down. Every other year, it's gone up. And we could say, hey, look, we're doing a great job. You know, we're reaching people for Christ. When I travel to other countries, I always ask, are the youth disengaging? And the answer is always yes. And I ask them, what's the answer? And they always tell me the exact same thing. People who don't speak to each other, you know, because they live in different cities or different countries, they're saying the same thing. They said, unless we reach the next generation with visual content they can watch on their phones, we'll lose them. And we're already losing them. So, you know, we don't want to sound like an alarmist, but there is an alarm that has to go off here. Someone needs to, and people that have larger audiences than us need to sound this alarm that we're making a grave, grave mistake there's a local pastor here that I love, and they support us. They're a great church. And he recently told his congregation, he said, read your Bibles. He said, let your kids see you reading your Bibles, and maybe they'll want to read theirs. And while that would be good, it's somewhat wishful thinking. And I said, I wish the pastor had told them to go sit with your kid on their phone and pull up something interesting, pull up an iBible episode, pull up a Christian content on their phone, watch it with them and do a devotional. Meet them where they're at. Don't try to force them into, you know, your box that they don't live in. They're not doing anything wrong. Culture has shifted, technology has shifted, and we're not going to stop them from learning through visual, you know, and it's not going to be reading text. I didn't know about that quote that you said. Facebook said that they're coming off going to all visual. I mean, We look at things like TikTok, we look at things like Instagram, and I know I've heard from people I work with that work with Twitter or X, they're pushing heavily, heavily to be visual content.
Yeah.
It'll no longer be a post, you know, a Twitter post or a tweet. It will be video. That I know they are moving to quickly.
Yeah. I love what you said there. Meet them where they're at. Our theology says that, right? Our theology says that we serve the only God in human history that came down off the mountain, met us in our brokenness and depravity, and made a way out and invited us to walk with him out of that depravity. All other gods require you to climb to the top of the mountain, right? And meet them where they are. And so our theology says, yes, the church should be showing up and meeting us where we're at and meeting people where they're at. But when it comes to our digital behaviors and our digital practices, we recognize that things are changing, but our behaviors continue to say, come to us, come to us, come to us, and we have all the answers. We're not meeting people where they're at. And so, yeah, it's just this gigantic missed opportunity. Go ahead.
Let me ask you, Zach, because we were talking to some missionaries the other day, and this came up. Are we missing an opportunity, or are we shirking our responsibility? Are we not doing something we could do, or are we failing the next generation? What responsibility do we bear? I mean, we can't tell a kid to create. I mean, my long-term, big-term goal is that young people are creating all the content that's going to be on these platforms. And we're trying to do things to set that in motion. I mean, obviously, I'm not going to be around in decades when all of this is continuing to change. I just want to be a catalyst to help the movement. But I think it's going to be the leaders, the older people that are going to say, look, they're going to wake up to this, take the responsibility and say, we need to do it. We need to empower the younger people to do it. We need to encourage them. We need to fund them. We need to, you know, give them the resources that make it necessary. Some of these kids are already on gaming platforms. It's not that hard to go from gaming to Bible video. We use gaming software on our videos. And so where does our responsibility lie? Where have we failed? So is it we're not doing something that could be cool and we could do, or are we really failing?
Yeah, I think if you look at any of my YouTube content, you'd probably say that I would argue pretty regularly that we're failing. But I think that, yeah, you're right. I don't think it's just missed opportunity. I think we're shirking our responsibility. And there are some content creators. It has been cool to, I'm trying to pay attention to younger generations that are popping up here and there that are creating some visual content. There's a couple creators on YouTube and TikTok that are using some AI stuff to, they'll do some comparison videos. Like we historically have viewed angels like this, and they show a couple, you know, Renaissance style paintings, and then they'll use AI to generate, based on what scripture says an angel is described as, or when Elijah calls down fire on the altar, like what we view in our heads and what we've seen in paintings and art in history to what AI describes and creates based on biblical descriptions, like are these vast differences visually, and it gives you a really cool visual understanding of what's really going on in these mm-hmm. Bible stories. And so I'll share those with my kids, and they're all of a sudden their eyes are wide open. They're super excited about now these Bible stories that they've heard us read to them at night. They get to see imagery and visual representation of what that maybe could have actually looked like versus what they come up with in their own minds. And so it is cool to see, and it's exciting to see some of these younger generations and content creators popping up and generating some stuff. But by and large, I think that when you look across the church and the content that's being created, it's just in our research, we've done a little bit of research on our own, and this isn't extensive, but you're talking 1,000+ churches and ministries. And taking in the research we did, we just took a look at the content that they were creating. What is the content that we're creating? And 99% of it is instructional in nature, educational in nature. Very little of it is narrative and story and testimony driven content. And when you look at the content creators that are winning in digital, they are winning because they're creating narrative driven content. Story always wins. It just always mm-hmm. does, especially when you're talking orality, communication culture, and visual. It just always does. And so when you look at the secular world and who's winning in the space, it's narrative driven. And we continue to enter into that space, not only calling to us and the content we're creating and inviting to us and broadcasting our stuff, but it's completely irrelevant to how people behave. And so yeah, it's just we need to start thinking about this a little bit more seriously, I think, because like you said, this is just a massive shift that's taking place. And if we don't make some adjustments, it's going to have some significant implications.
Yeah. There was something else. I'm very thankful. Zach, I'm very thankful for the ministries that are doing it. And I know I confess sometimes when we talk about the 90% negative and we gotta highlight those who are doing a good job. I tend to look at the whole picture and dealing with mm-hmm. other ministries as well, and saying, because I see these tens of millions, hundreds of millions of dollars being invested into textual based learning. Right. The other thing that we have seen is that because of social media, there's not only a shift in heart language, there is a shift in how we learn. And so, you know, you back up as parents or grandparents or teachers or pastors, we can do instruction, right? But on social media, there is no instruction. On social media, there's dialogue. And this. So if you look at engagement, and if you want to tell a young person what to believe, are they going to engage with you? If you ask a young person a question, how do they engage? When we build resources for iBible, the first set of resources are questions. And people say, well, what's the answer? And I said, we do not give the answer. Let the pastor, let the teacher, and maybe mm-hmm. there's not an answer. So when my son, who is a millennial, and he was 29 or 30, was the last time he went to church. Actually, no, he has gone back to some churches, but he was afraid to go back. He had questions. And when he asked those questions, the church basically said, this is the answer. And if you don't think like this, you're in a lot of trouble. Mm. And his answer to stay out of trouble was not to go back to hear it. And he said, Dad, they just gave me blanket answers. And one thing I try never to do with my millennial age son is to give him answers. I want to point him in a direction so he can find the answers, but it's no longer, hey, this is the truth, you know, just accept it. He's going to go on social media and he's going to find 10 other people that are going to debate me and probably do a much better job. And they're going to enter into dialogue. And I realized the importance of this when I did my first episode of iBible, first couple episodes, and I showed it to my son. And there is a serpent in a garden who deceives Eve and Adam. And my son asked, why was the serpent in the garden to begin with? What's he doing there? This is God's garden. Why is he there? Great question. Easy answer? I don't think so. I mean, maybe some people watching have an answer. I don't have an easy answer. But, you know, we talked for the next 20 minutes about God and about free will and about our choice and what we do and who is God. And I believe it really ministered to him. And I later in, you know, a year down the road, I hear him repeating the dialogue to other people and saying, what about this? What about that? And Dad, what do you think? And I'm like, well, you keep talking about what you think. I'm kind of liking it. And so we can't just instruct youth, right? We have to invite them into dialogue. And that's the other dynamics of visual digital media, is even how we interact with the next generation and how we get them to learn. We say they want to discover. And if we don't allow them a role of discovery, they're going to find it easily the second they walk out in the parking lot or even while they're at church. They're going to hear something and they're going to start discovering something different on social media.
Yeah.
So how we do that becomes critical. To me, it becomes critical thinking and rethink how we do digital, rethink how we engage the next generation.
Yeah. Well, Steve, this has been a fascinating conversation for me. Super exciting. I want to make sure that we take a moment for today's sponsor, but when we come back, I want to continue discussing story and narrative with you and learn more about iBible. Hey, ministry leaders. Today's episode is sponsored by Click Nonprofit. Are you looking to grow your ministry but don't have the money or marketing knowledge to make that happen? There's good news. Google offers an advertising grant to churches and ministries that is worth $10,000 per month. This means that if your ministry is a 501c3 nonprofit, you are eligible to receive $120,000 per year in free advertising dollars. This allows you to place ads at the top of Google search results page and drive thousands of visitors to your ministry website every month. Our sponsor, Click Nonprofit, helps your ministry acquire this Google ad grant and then manages your Google ads to ensure you get the most out of the grant. Schedule a free consultation at clicknonprofit.com to learn more about how this grant can help your specific ministry. Mention the Ministry Growth Show when you sign up and get 20% off your first 3 months of management. Welcome back to the Ministry Growth Show. We've been talking with Steve Cleary of Revelation Media and iBible. Steve, as we get back into the conversation, can you share some of the success stories and feedback that you guys have received from the initial releases of iBible episodes?
Yes, of course. It's really been exciting to us because we call it proof of concept, right? So anytime you're doing something new, and you're fighting something that, you know, Bible engagement going down, we want Bible engagement to go up. Mm-hmm. When we released our first six episodes of iBible, we actually didn't release them. My distributor released them in Vision Video, and he did it without my permission. He did it without my knowledge. And then he called me back, you know, some months later, and he says, we need more. I says, what do you mean? He goes, we need more of these episodes. And I said, we're actually redoing them. We didn't like them. We think they can be better. And he goes, did you see what's happening on YouTube? And I'm like, no. And I looked and I saw how many views there were. And I said, that can't be right. And again, these are episodes I threw away and redid. And so it came as a surprise to me. There were like 14 million views for across the six episodes that we never advertised. And I didn't even know they were on YouTube. So I never put wow. my mailing list to them. I never asked my people to watch them. And, you know, today it's grown to 24 million. Views, and we released more episodes. We're starting to release more languages. And then, so 24 million views, we're not advertising it. It's only a part of the whole Bible. We can easily extrapolate 1 billion views a year if we get the whole production done and put it in the top languages of the world that are already on YouTube. But we also Right. give it to ministries. We put it on our own websites. And then, Zach, we did a special episode of iBible called The Real Story of Jesus, because we want people to know the salvation message even before we have the whole Bible done. So they're watching Genesis. They're like, okay, well, how do I be saved? And so we called it the salvation episode. It released entitled The Real Story of Jesus. We put it, it's on YouTube, but we put it on our websites, mobile websites. We promoted it on social media a little bit, kind of seeded it. We've had 3.7 million people watch across now 100 languages, and we've had 248,000 people. We're just about to go to a 250,000 that have told us they prayed for salvation after watching the episode. These are people that have told us. We don't know how many people haven't told us. We don't know where they're at in their, you know, in their prayer. Were they already Christians? I mean, these kind of things we don't know. We're throwing seeds, right? But I never would have anticipated in 1 year having 248,000 people write to me saying they accepted Christ. Yeah, and I never wild. Saw that coming. All based on a 9-minute video episode. Because on social media, we got to be careful too, right? We're not going to put a 2-hour movie we like to do 7 minutes, 5 minutes, 1 minute, you know, 9 minutes. We're working on a 10-minute episode now. It'd be the longest episode we've ever done. We're doing it on Christmas, this is going to be 10 minutes long. So we're seeing the hunger. You know, the only thing stopping us from putting more content out is time and money, obviously. You know, we already have like 50 people, and we spend every penny that God provides to us making these episodes. We're going to be releasing our first New Testament episode in 3D animation, a new style of animation we're doing, November of this year. And we're continuing to work on Life of Christ. It would be about 40 episodes. And we'll go back to Exodus after that. But if you can imagine, if this whole thing was done, and I mean, I've told my board of directors, if somebody comes up that can fund this and put 200 people on it, let them have it. Whether they want me involved, I'll sweep the floor. I don't need to be the director. I don't need to be the writer. I just want to see it done. I want to see it funded. I want to see it on social media. I want people to put 1 minute clips on TikTok. We have proven the model. We have seen what will happen and what we believe biblically based content, actual translation of scripture will be one of the most viewed things on social media. We believe that's possible. We believe we can turn the trend of a declining Bible engagement among youth to an increasing Bible engagement among youth. And if people look at our back offices and look at the reports, we believe they will agree this can be done. But I can tell you, we have almost no success moving large organizations to think this way. I mean, I really wish we could. I mean, the board has said, no, we would never remove you and let somebody else do it. And I said, no, you're not hearing me. This is not about me. This is about getting this project done. I would like to see it and done in the next 7 or 8 years. I don't currently have the money to do that. I mean, every day we continue to step out in faith. We try to do things more efficiently, and we're going to keep producing episodes. And that's, you know, even when I faced death, that was my prayer. You know, God, if you're ready to take me home, I'll go. If you want me to stay, I'll work on iBible and continue trying to share this message and be a catalyst for digital biblical media that needs to go forth. But yeah, we're seeing millions and millions of people watching and people getting saved. It's actually phenomenal.
So you're publishing this content the same on your app as you are on social media. So the same content will show up on YouTube as it does on the app that I can go download.
Yes. The only difference on the app is you're going to have access to the resources. We can't put the resources on YouTube. We give it to ministry partners. I had someone tell me they showed our episodes at a community day. People were waiting to, I don't know what they were waiting for, register, get a free water. I don't know. But while they were waiting, they were watching the real story of Jesus. And a pastor wrote to us and he said, I don't know how many people were impacted by this. There were 400 people came to that event that day. But he can tell you 8 people came to me on their own and told me they accepted Christ after watching it. Those are people that just went out of their way to tell the pastor that, thank you for sharing this, and we are now followers of Christ because you showed that. So, I mean, we heard people showing it in public school to talk about the Bible as literature. We're on a TV program, and we're on the largest Christian station in Kenya. We didn't even know. And so we don't know where it's going. We do know where if it's on our YouTube channel or if it's on one of our websites. But we don't know all the places it's going and the people that are using it. So it could be 5 times what I see. But anything we see is great. I mean, 248,000 people is exciting, but 8 people from a community in Florida is exciting to me. Yeah. Because there are 8 people that maybe weren't following Christ before. 8 people will see in heaven. And so we don't just go by numbers. You know, we want individual impact. And a lot of people write to us and share with us how they're using the episodes. But a lot of people probably don't write to us. If you want to get the app, it's on the Apple App Store. It's on the Android Google Play Store. Just look for iBible by Revelation Media. It's free to download or free to subscribe to. And we're going to be uploading new content even before the end of the year. We're going to be updating new languages, and we're going to be adding new features. We're kind of at version 1 right now. We launched it 5 or 6 months ago. Okay. We had 150,000 people download it, and we're looking forward to our first 1,000,000. Zach, I'm sorry I get excited about this. This project can be done. This project can make a worldwide missional impact But we need more people willing to do it. That's the bottom line. Whether God is calling you to animate, to distribute, to be a part of social media, to financially support, we need a lot more people that are going to say, let's put out a visual Bible and let's put out more visual content. Let's use AI to tell us what an angel looks like. It's fun, right? We don't know what an angel looks like. Our guys draw one. We just did Gabriel. I don't even know if I like him, but you know, we had to come up with an image for Gabriel. And
yeah,
we didn't use AI, but I'd love to see what I would love to see what these people are doing.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. So if there's ministry leaders or churches out there that want to support you guys, or an individual that just has the capacity, like, do you guys, what is your funding gap that you need to finish this thing?
This project is going to cost us $25 million at least to do the whole Bible. Breaks down to a little under $100,000 an episode. Okay. As animation goes, it's cheaper than any other animation out there. I guarantee you, we're about 1% the cost of a Disney film. We're a fraction of the cost of a VeggieTales or a Superbook. I mean, we try to go as efficient as possible. We have volunteers, we have paid staff, we have interns, all working together to make this possible. If you want to get in touch with me, you can help in any way. You can go to i.bible. It's not .com. It's just i.bible. You can go to our website. You can always contact us. You can donate. If people you know that can volunteer, we have employees, interns, and volunteers. I mean, we just try to be as efficient as possible. It's more important for us to feel people want to be part of the project. They want to be called to be part of this. You know, someone told me before that organizations go through, you know, they start with a man, they move to a movement, and they go to a monument. And of course, you know, monument doesn't sound like a nice word. It's not. I have no desire to ever get to a monument, but I do have a desire to be a movement. I mean, part of me would want to do this project and cease to exist and just make sure 100 other people are doing it better than I can. If I can impact change in how we address social media and biblical content, then my job is done. And that's really what I want to see happen. And in my life, it's more important because, you know, even today, my cardiologist told me I'd be dead 5 years ago today. So I don't know. God will give me the time he gives me, whether that's 5 years or, you know, 20 more years to work. But I kind of feel a time crunch. I kind of feel the church is behind. I kind of feel we have to step up. And if we don't, I'll tell you who is stepping up in a big way, and that's Satan. And we know that. We just, you know, go look at the number one thing on YouTube right now. It's a talking head in a toilet. It's disgusting. And it's brain rot. Our, you know, the enemy wants either lies, deception, or brain rot. He wins either way. And right. He is super, super, super active on social media. And if you don't do anything, he ain't stopping. He ain't stopping anyway. But what are we going to do to fight that spiritual battle? And there is a spiritual battle for the next generation. And it's going to be fought with prayer. It's going to be fought with speaking the language of the youth and delivering content to them in their heart language. And I think there's no other way around.
Yeah. Well, Steve, I really appreciate you coming on the show and sharing about iBible and some of your insights on just the digital space and the direction things are moving. If people want to get a hold of you, they want to learn more about what you guys are doing, maybe they want to support, how do they do so?
Again, you can reach me if you download the app. There's comments. You can have comments. They'll always come to me if you mention my name. I can't answer all of them, but I try to read every one. And if you write to me, I'll do my best to answer you back. i.bible is the best way to find me. Just go to that website. Even if you search iBible on Google, we're going to pop up. And if you write to us and you mention my name, it's going to come to me, or somebody else in the staff can help answer your questions. If you want to support us, that would be great. If you want to join our email list, we have a lot of people on our email list. We're just dipping our toe in podcasting and YouTube and videos. We have a lot of videos on YouTube, but we're going to be, our goal is to add one a day. Right now, we're probably adding one a month, but we're going to try to add one video a day coming up here shortly. And just want to encourage people, to get behind. If it's not me, get behind somebody else that's doing digital media. Get behind somebody who's thinking about our kids in the future and not thinking about how we did things in the past.
I pray for you as we wrap up.
Yeah, please.
Father, I thank you for this opportunity to meet with Steve and hear his heart and his call. Lord, thank you for all that you're doing through Revelation Media and iBible. And I just pray for blessing on iBible and this project, that you would provide the funding, you would provide the teams to continue to create this content, and that it would engage in the way that we're already seeing it engage with the people who are spending more and more time in this digital spaces. Father, I pray for Steve and his leadership over this team, that you would give clarity and direction and wisdom. Pray for his health. Just lift all these things up to you. Thank you that we get to be partnered with you in this redemptive story, that you didn't choose to do this on your own when you could have, but you've invited us into partnership. And that's a pretty incredible and exciting thing, Father. We love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Steve, thanks so much for coming on the show.
Thanks, Zach. Look forward to doing it again when you're ready.
Yep. Bye. Thank you for listening to this episode of the Ministry Growth Show. If you've enjoyed it, we'd appreciate it if you rate and review us on your favorite podcasting app, and make sure you subscribe so you never miss an episode. If you have a story or expertise to share with other ministry directors and pastors, or know someone who would be a great guest for the show, let us know. We love connecting with ministry executives and sharing their wisdom and insight with our audience. Just send us an email at podcast@reliantcreative.org. And lastly, if you need help telling your ministry's story, we would love to share how we can help in that process. Check out Reliant Creative at reliantcreative.org and book a call today. See you next time.